Bring greetings this morning in the name of Jesus, the one whom we have worshiped thus far and desire to worship further. Psalm 139, 23 and 24 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." That is a prayer of my heart this morning, that God can search my heart. God can search your heart and lead us closer to Himself. If you care to turn to Matthew 15, we'll read about 10 verses here. And I thought of the title, and it's somewhat what I'm not sure it expresses exactly my thought, and yet the title is "That Which Defileth a Man," is found in Matthew 18, "And they defile the man." I'd like to read verses 10 through 20. And this message was born out of the need of my own life. Also, kind of, I came across in my personal Bible study. And we had a time of sharing yesterday with some brethren. Seemingly, it's almost an epidemic of sexual immorality among plain people, reading about that, and to reflect on my own life. We are needy people, in need of God this morning. So again, the prayer is, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Let's read Matthew chapter 15, verse 10 through 20. "And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? He answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, they both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable, or teach us what you are saying. Reveal it to us. And Jesus said, Are you also yet without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." Now the Pharisees had come to Jesus and said, in verse 2, he asked the question, "Why are your disciples, they start eating without even washing their hands?" Jesus asked him, "Well, why do you then twist the commandment of God and not do the sayings of God?" And that's what they, and he went on and said what they were doing there in verse 5, 6, 7, 8. Verse 8 says, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, yet their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now we understand that the food we eat is, or what we take into our mouth is not what defiles a man. Now I do understand that we become what we eat. I know physically we do that. If we eat unhealthy food, we'll become unhealthy. You know, if we have a tendency towards alcohol, you know, our minds and our bodies will become like a drunk. I understand that. But the thing Jesus was saying here is it's not what goes in, but what comes out. That is what defiles the man. And I'd like to again reiterate that this is not, this message is not for anyone in particular here, but for us all. We are all in the same boat. We are all living this life. And we all have issues in our life that need to be reckoned with, repented of, and forsaken. We also, I'd like to give this thought, that we aren't responsible for what others say to us or against us or do against us. We are not responsible for that. Those people will give an account to God for the things they did in this life toward themselves and others. And God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. Whether you do it in love, or if there's any, he's not unrighteous to forget an unconfessed sin as well. So it's not what others do to us that makes us guilty before God, but the thoughts we think, the words we say, the attitudes we express, and the actions we do and choose to allow in our hearts, that is what defiles the man. Those things come out of the heart, the seat of our emotions, our thoughts and feelings. These are the things that will destroy us if we don't bring them under the dominion of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus mentions some here. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on these. He mentions, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blaspheming. He says, these are the things which defile a man. So if we know this, what are some keys to gain the victory of the things that are coming out of our hearts that are not right? Well, where do we go from here? And I have a couple pointers that may help us. Hopefully somebody will get some good. You know, the Bible talks about the coming judgment of the Lord. And another thing that helped me, that brought my mind to this is the death in Deer Lodge, Tennessee, where the young girl, I don't know how many of you heard, but a young girl was killed Thursday. Yes, Thursday, and her elder sister was going to get married the next day. This young girl was 8 years old. I don't know exactly how it all happened. It doesn't matter. But if that would have been me, if that would have been you, where would you be today? If that would have been us that was abducted out in Farmington, New Mexico, where would you be today? Where would I be? I don't know what happened to that girl. We don't know. But as we think of some of these things, it helps us to understand that this life is serious. It's not just a joke. This life is not a joke. It makes it very serious if we understand that someday we will stand before God and give an account. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Acts 17:31 says, "Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that in him that in that he hath raised him from the dead." So God has appointed a day, in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man, by Jesus Christ, whom he hath ordained. Revelation 20, verse 11 to 15. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." In other words, they couldn't flee away from the face of God. God was everywhere. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the book according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Again, judgment. I am not trying to be a cast a lot of fear into our heart, but I would like to encourage us to think. To think. To seriously consider, where are we in this life? What are we doing? How are we living? What are we saying? What are we doing? How are we acting? Is God going to be pleased with us at the end of life? Is God pleased with us today? Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap, also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." So there's a reaping both ways. If we do bad, there's a reaping. If we do good, there's also a reaping. We can reap blessing or cursing, depending on how we live. One more verse, Colossians 3, 24 and 25, "Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." You know, I don't know, is it blessed or cursed? I'm not sure which. We somehow have a tendency to have respect of persons. But that is not going to be at the judgment of Christ. There is no respect of persons going to be given. Not who we are, how much money we had, how much respect we had on the earth. What our position was, there is not going to be any respect given. No partiality, I should say. So there's a judgment day coming. And it should help us to understand or to look at life seriously. not just as a, you know, when we die, it's over with. That's not the way it's going to be. It's going to be, there's going to be a reckoning given to God himself. Now, Jesus mentions again some things here, and I thought of what the Bible says about some certain things that we're gonna that we are sometimes involved in that will defile us. The Bible gets pretty specific about the things that we do sometimes. Matthew 12. Verse 33 through 37, if you want to turn to that. Matthew chapter 12. This is talking about our words, the words we say. 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Now again, there's that thought of out of the heart comes forth this evil things. A good man, verse 35, out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now I don't know if there's anybody here that has not heard this verse before. That we are going to give an account for the words we say. How many of us had thought about that yesterday? That we are going to give an account for the words we say, the idle words. Now, someone has made the statement that an idle word is a useless or a barren word. It's a barren is just unfruitful. It's useless. It doesn't have any use whatsoever. A word that produces no good effect and is not even calculated to produce anything. It's an idle word. It's useless. Excuse me. I think it's important for us to understand or to be reminded that these idle words that God is keeping track of that. God is keeping track of the things we say. And we wonder, how can he? Well, I don't know, but that is what the scriptures say. That by these idle words we shall be justified. Excuse me. By thy words shalt thou be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Remember, there is a judgment day coming, and we will give an account for everything we do and say. A idle word is useless. It's barren. It produces no good effect, and is not calculated to produce any. That is an idle word. Number two, we can hide a wicked heart behind a godly appearance, outside appearance. Is that something we struggle with? We can hide a wicked heart behind a godly outside appearance. You know, seemingly we try to impress man, but we tend to forget that God sees the heart. Back in chapter 15, these Pharisees were very concerned about the washing of their hands, and yet in their fervor to walk after their own commandments and traditions. They altered the commandment of God to make it say not what it said, but made it say something different. How many times do we do that? Luke 11, verse 39 and 40 says, "And the Lord said unto him, Now do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. You fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also?" You know, I was just recently reminded again of the many, many, many articles of news out there that is talking about plain men that are involved in immorality. I mean, it's depressing, it's sad, it's horrible. And yet, if you look at them, you would think that they're the most godly men around. When we were in Florida, there was this man that came down, I don't know, a day or so after we came in, down in Sarasota, and it didn't take long for the rumor, well, I don't know if it's a rumor, but the thought to circulate that this man is no good. Well, maybe I shouldn't say no good, but he was in his home congregation. He was over and over questioned about his moral life. He was accused of immorality with young boys. And he always lied his way out. And they couldn't pin anything on him. He was not a convicted by the state sex felon. And yet, as I watched him, there was others that were aware of this, this man was drawn to young men, to young boys, like flies to honey. I mean, seriously. Every time you saw him, he was around a young person. Evil. He had no good intention. But he looked good. He looked good. Now, I know that I may be assuming, and last time I preached here, I know I preached on assumptions, so forgive me for this. But this man looked like he had all his T's and his I's crossed and dotted as far as his compliance with the church guidelines. But his reputation was terrible. His reputation was terrible. How about us? Do we sometimes hide behind our clothes, our appearance, because we hide behind this thing of appearing righteous before you? I try to hide behind my appearance to you, but inwardly I'm harboring evil thoughts, and I'm harboring bitterness and unforgiveness and just immorality and, you know, all kinds of bad things. It's possible. Friends, it's very possible. And we do this without even sometimes thinking, because we forget that sometime God, we're going to face God. And we excuse that. We think it's okay. Well, maybe we don't think it's okay, but we somehow live with it. Bitterness is another thing. Bitterness in my own life. Allowing bitterness to take root in my heart. Bitterness when we think about an issue and we can't even think about the issue without anger overrunning and revengeful thoughts coming into our heart. How do we find ourselves this morning? Are we bitter? Is there, when we think of bitterness, do we immediately think of a brother? or somebody in the church that we just can't forgive. We just can't get it out of our system. It's that canker that keeps eating away at our heart. And if we have those issues, let's go get help somewhere, somehow. Life is too short and too serious to allow bitterness to destroy our soul. Hebrews 12:15 says, "Let looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." Again, remember, it's not what others do to us that defile us, but what we allow our life to produce. That is what defiles us. So there's a choice in our that we have. And, you know, there are times that we cannot, by our own strength, we'll never get over it. We won't. God can give us grace, but there are times that we may have to, and we probably should, go share with somebody that is able to help us, to talk about it, and to, somehow take action that these anger and revengeful thoughts don't overtake our hearts. You know, the children's Sunday school verse reminded me of the unforgiveness. Matthew 6:14-15 tells us, if we don't forgive, verse 12, was that your Sunday school verse 12? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Was that the verse? Okay. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So unforgiveness is also something that will defile a man and make us guilty before God. May we allow the Spirit of God to root out that bitterness and unforgiveness and give us a heart by the grace of God to forgive. We may not be able to forget, but every time we think about it, we can forgive again. That it doesn't turn into bitterness. At the start, I said thinking about the judgment causes life to be serious. Another thought is not taking the Christian life serious enough. You know, are we serious about life, about the Christian life, when we do watch and listen to questionable things? Are we really serious about life? Things that we wouldn't do if Jesus Christ would be present in bodily form. You know, there's this thing of we believe that Jesus is everywhere, and yet because we can't see him, we tend to forget that he's here. Because we can't see Christ or the Spirit of God, we tend to forget that what we do and say and that he hears us and sees us. May we be serious about the Christian life, that Christ Jesus loved us and cared for us, I'd like to get into that a little bit later. Hebrews 12, verse 28 and 29, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Again, does our reverence and godly fear, does our reverence for God and godly fear guide us when we go on the internet? When we are fairly certain that we're alone and nobody would see us, does the fear of God guide us then? How do we stand? There's a verse in Numbers 32, verse 23 that says, be sure your sin will find you out. Somehow God has a way of revealing men's secret sin because we can never hide from him. In conclusion, I'd like to just remind us again of the love of God, the sacrifice of God, and to help us to understand that we are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. John, 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And I'd like to just read this, maybe make a couple comments as I go, but allow the Word of God to show us and the desire of God. It says, Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Does that thought thrill our souls this morning, that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts through Jesus Christ our Lord? And this is what God has showed us, was the love of God in Jesus Christ dying for man's sin. Someone has recently made the statement, Jesus Christ didn't die for the sin, he died so that we can be forgiven. And I think that's true. But you need to, so that we could be forgiven would be a better way of saying it. That we, sinful humanity, can be called the Son of God. Does that thrill our souls? That God has given us Christ Jesus so that we can be his children. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Did we get that? If we have this hope to appear before God and to be in purity before him, we will purify ourselves daily. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for the sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So we don't have to, that the devil's power is broken through Jesus Christ. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. We love him because he first loved us. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon me, that I should be called the Son of God. Can we continue on living a sinful life and really and truly have the love, have that focus on Jesus Christ? I don't think we can. We can't. When we start sinning, the focus turns on us, on my own self. But when we focus on Christ, when we have him, and we know that he has died so that I can be forgiven, it kind of changes the picture, doesn't it? It changes my desire to live not for myself, but to live for him. Because we love him because he first loved us. Romans 15, verse 6 was a verse in our Sunday school that stood out to me this morning, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we do not glorify God by living for ourselves. We glorify God by living for himself, for him. And now in closing, I'd like to read 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. As we think of our thoughts, our actions, our attitudes, our humanity, and how that needs to be brought under the power of Jesus, I'd like to read verse 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It's not what we as men can do, but it's but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought and every action, the things coming out of our heart, be brought into the obedience of Jesus Christ. And God will give us the power and the grace to live for him. Let's kneel for prayer.